The Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. We are continuing with today's hearing. Today, of course, is March 8th, 2018. And we're hearing the second and last item on the agenda, which is the Camp Bow Wow conditional use permit proposal. We will proceed with this matter very much the same as we proceeded with the last one, with the Planning Department providing a summary of the proposal. I have reviewed the staff report and the exhibits which have been submitted. So far, the applicant may then present on the proposal, and then we'll open the matter up for public comment. So the applicant will have an opportunity to address comments that are raised, and Planning Department may have further clarifications or information. And that will be allowed as well. I do have a note. There were some comments that were in the record that got a bit personal. I do expect everyone to treat each other with the utmost courtesy and professionalism. My only job is to review the proposal for consistency with the county's code criteria, and it is not useful to me if things get personal. So I expect everyone to deal with this professionally. Thank you. With that, I think we'll turn this over to the Planning Department. Good morning.
Good morning.
And your name for the record?
For the record, my name is Meg Sands, planner with the Department of Community Development.
And you swear to tell the truth
today? I do.
Thank you.
So I'd like to enter into the record, just to be clear, exhibits 1 through 31. And I have an additional one, which is the PowerPoint slide presentation.
Okay. So that would be 32, and those are all admitted.
Then I just have a couple of corrections to the staff report.
Okay.
So on the first page, under the proposal summary in the second paragraph, second sentence, it says the property is zoned commercial and located at, mm-hmm. and it says 11800. It's really 11662. That's the new address that's been given to Building 6. That's where Camp Bow Wow is going to be located. You'll see under project location, it lists the correct address, but there's an address change recently.
Okay, so it should be 11662. Clear Creek Road Northwest. Okay.
And then condition 11. So that is on page 13.
Mm-hmm.
This is a standard condition, and the unfortunately rural was picked rather than urban. It's an urban area. So what the third sentence should read is lighting shall be the minimum necessary for safety purposes and be compatible with the surrounding properties. It says with the rural character
right.
of the area. Today. So it should be compatible with surrounding properties.
Yep.
Everything else is correct.
Okay.
I'd like to mention that SEPA was done for this project. A mitigated determination of non-significance was issued. It's Exhibit 17 in the record.
Mm-hmm.
It outlined a couple of mitigation conditions. Those are referenced, in essence, under Condition 19 and 27 in the staff report. No appeals were filed for SEPA, so the SEPA decision is final. We'll just be hearing the conditional use elements of this project. And with that, I'd like to just go ahead and give you the PowerPoint presentation, kind of outline what this project is for you. So the property is located north of Dyes Inlet. Get the mouse to kind of pop up here. So this is Dyes Inlet here, Silverdale. The town of Silverdale is known at kind of at the north end of Dyes Inlet. And this particular property is sandwiched between State Highway 3, which runs north-south predominantly, and Clear Creek Road. And you'll see that in just a second here. So Highway 3 to the west and Clear Creek Road, Highway 3 is on the east side of the property and Clear Creek Road on the west side. It's an irregular shaped lot. It's just under 6 acres. You see that there's quite a bit of clearing that's been done to the property and development that's occurring. There's also some existing development that's in this southern portion of the property. Most of that was constructed back in the 70s and prior to any having a critical areas ordinance. This is kind of a zoom in. This aerial, I apologize, but the latest that the county has is 2015. So I've grabbed Google Earth, which is a last year's shot. And you can see this is building 2. So this is on the subject property. This building here is what's referred to as building 1. It's on an adjacent property. This used to be the old Clear Creek Nursery. A lot of people that are familiar with Silverdale are aware of that. This is now known as Ferguson Waterworks. Building 2 has a couple of tenants in it. It was fairly recently completed. This is a critical area mapping that we have. You can see that this coloration is an indication of slopes. This crosshatch here is an indication of flood zone. It's a flood zone AE, which is high propensity of flooding, according to the National Flood Insurance Program. The proposed building, Building 6, is actually located outside of any required buffer and flood zone. This is a type F stream known as Clear Creek. It's the West Fork. There's also a critical aquifer on portions of this property, Category 2. The proposal for a doggy daycare is not an imminent threat to groundwater. However, there's always the potential for new tenants. We condition the project that if some other use were to go in there, if it happens to be on that list, then they'll have to amend the conditional use permit to address any potential issues with regard to that. But because it's not a high threat, there's no hydrogeological report required. So this is a zoning map, and in our great brilliance, we outline it in red, and when it's a red zone, you can't really see the property, but it's essentially right here. You can see that to the north and south is also commercially zoned. This has been a business center. As you move further out, there's residential zoning, rural residential. And then across from Highway 3, this park's designation, there's a Clear Creek Trail. A lot of people utilize that to various activities. And there's also agricultural activities over here on the old Peterson Farm and Schold Farm happen to be in this area. And just happened to point out that Highway 3, there's no access to this subject property from Highway 3. Only access is from Clear Creek. So keep in mind that this orientation, you need to rotate in your mind 90 degrees to the left to have the same position that you saw in the other imagery. That's all oriented north. So you come into the property here on the north end. These are proposed buildings. They have not been constructed at this point in time. Building 2, which I showed you on an earlier imagery, is this existing building here. Building 6, the shell building, has been constructed. It hasn't been finaled, to the best of my knowledge, at this point. And they will need a new building permit to finish off this and gain occupancy for Building 6. And then Building 3 is an old potting shed. They're proposing to expand this not as part of this project, but just to give you a feel for what's going on. This is an old residence, and then a building that's a garage. So those are existing. There's 11 parking spaces in front of Camp Bowell, and then they're also outlining shared parking over here. And looking at the parking requirements for this project, it was determined that 16 spaces were required, and they show a potential for 17. They have 10 to 14 employees on site at any given time. And by the nature of this project proposal, they have potentially 75 to 125 dogs that they may have on any given day. They also provide services for grooming, up to 4 groomers on site. Typically, people either drop their dog, go do errands, come back and pick up their dog. Is it an hour, 2 hour grooming kind of session? But they could also stay on site. We don't perceive that there would be an issue with parking. Same with the training. In many cases, it will be done during regular hours. But again, that's likely to be somebody that's already would be bringing their dog there anyway. They also have indicated that there may be some retail sales, but that's minor. It's in conjunction with those other activities. It's not a pet shop kind of retail operation, but there may be some retail sales. And then they've also indicated that on occasion there may be events that take place, such as a dog adoption in association with the Kitsap Humane Society, or they may offer other services to the community, that opportunities for fundraising for charity for other pet kinds of considerations. But those are expected to be fairly minor in nature, and may in some cases take place outside of normal hours, so there shouldn't be an issue again with parking for the site. There was some information with regard to maybe other outdoor play areas. I've talked directly with the applicant, and the only outdoor play area is designated here. So you can see that here's the flood zone area. It's totally outside of that, but a portion of it is within the buffer. So you can see here's the buffer line that kind of runs here. Mm-hmm. There's information in the record. I believe it's exhibits 19 and 29. I'll show you in just a second here, kind of, some mitigation that's required because of that intrusion. Originally, they were proposing to do tall Oregon grape. We contacted the wetland consultant because we didn't feel that was a good choice. The Pacific axe myrtle would be a far better choice for screening. Grows a lot bigger. And there was some, I think they had interpreted that maybe we wouldn't consider that a native plant. We, in fact, do consider it native. So you'll see in the record that they were totally in favor of that. So we've clarified that and written a condition with regard to that. Don't perceive that there will be any issue in that context. This is just a shot of kind of the expected landscaping to occur. As I indicated, this isn't quite finished off, so there'll be landscaping that will take place in the front of the building and as well as in the site in general as build-out finishes for this project. So there was some information in the record with regard to the subarea, what was required, and we were looking for information because there was an indication that some of the building features were going to change a little bit. So we have to look at the whole thing and make sure that the project's in compliance. This was originally going to be the entrance for this building. At the time that the shell was done, they didn't have, I don't believe, a specific tenant. So there was going to be doors entering the building here. It happens to be that just behind this is where the boarding is. You'll see that in just a minute. So these doors have basically been changed into a window treatment, and it's actually been installed, been to the site. This man door has not been, at least when I was there, but it will be. It was designed as a roll-up door originally, and so that will be changed. But there is a need for rain protection features, so that's been added as a condition for the project. And with that, we find that it will be totally in compliance with the Silverdale Subarea design criteria, and specifically the Wagaway Town Center. That's the specific district that this project is located within. So here's the floor plan. So the man door that you see is right here, so it leads into their lobby and reception area that people would bring their dog into. And then there's the grooming area here. There's a luxury suite, so if somebody doesn't want their dog in kind of the general communal area, they can utilize that. This is the boarding area for overnight boarding. So there's a capacity for 52 dogs here. There's an overall capacity for 62 because there's what are called the teacup dogs, the really tiny dogs. So you'll see that there's five cages here, but they're stacked, so there's actually 10 in this room. And then there's the indoor play area where the dogs generally are, and they're separated by size, indoor area for the teacups. And then they lead out.
Do you know how big the teacup? I was curious. I didn't see the vision. I'd
be able to hold them in my hand, but I'm going to guess. I don't know.
I understand they're for smaller dogs.
I'm guessing probably 5 pounds or less. A sack of sugar, maybe smaller. So you can see that each indoor area leads to the outdoor areas. They're separated. They have kind of a fencing with gates so the personnel can go in between to provide care if needed or warranted. But they basically have separated the dogs by size. And then this is a solid fence, 8 foot, so they'll need a permit for that. And then the landscaping kind of that we're requiring as part of the mitigation is going to go outside here. And I did question because the windows are roughly in this position with regard to the boarding, mm-hmm. but they will screen those so that the dogs aren't generally wouldn't expect people on the site necessarily at night, however, always fully control that, so they have a method to try to minimize any disturbance of the dogs. There was some mention in the staff report, in the documentation that there was 24-hour staffing. The site is not staffed 24 hours. It is staffed essentially, you can see in the staff report, the hours of operation generally are, I believe it was 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 to 6 on Saturday, Sunday. Employees come a half hour prior to that to get things ready, set up, and then they're there an hour generally after the business closes to do cleanup and that kind of thing. So after that, there's not staff on site, but they do monitor it electronically, so staff can come back or one of the local owners should the need occur. And then they also provide, I think, with their camera setup so that owners can also you know, watch their dogs during the day, should they be so inclined. This is just kind of back to the site plan. So let me just run through a couple other little elements, and then if you have any questions for me. There's no stormwater requirements, which is kind of typical, not typical maybe of a new building, but in this case, the overall site was evaluated for all the building construction and build out. So with the small addition of the outdoor area, there is not hitting any threshold to require any new mitigation for stormwater. So just to make that clear. There is information in code with regard to the dog daycare, and there are certain what are called footnotes that apply to certain kinds of projects. And for the most part, that didn't apply to this. I just want to make that clear and point out those elements. There's a couple of footnotes. One does apply with regard to the feeding or structure, but this particular building meets all that criteria. There's an element with regard to the sub area saying that it shouldn't be, the building should not be farther than 25 feet from the front. But based on topography and that it's a multiple building site, it's not reasonable that every building meets that threshold anyway. But even if so, there are site characteristics that we can take into consideration. So it would be actually more detrimental to move the building more onto the slope. So just to make that clear. And then the other footnotes, footnote 17 is kind of a placeholder. And the other one with regard to 51 has to do with storage, and that's shipping containers. There's no outside storage proposed for this, and we've conditioned the project in that context. Fire flow is sometimes a point of a question, and fire flow has already been really addressed under the site development activity permit that previously occurred with the overall site. So that's not particularly a special issue or anything that we need to address. And we find that the landscaping for the site meets the code criteria subject to the conditions that we've outlined. One other special characteristic about this with dog waste, the health district requires that dog waste is picked up, bagged up. It cannot go to the sewage treatment system. So for the most part, and I'm sure that the applicant can talk to this further, but they basically have a vacuuming system. So they pick up the solids, and then they also vacuum, and they use some water to wash down areas. It's fairly minimal. That wash water can go to the holding tank, but none of that goes to what's normally known as the on-site septic system. That's basically only human sewage that is going through the regular toilets. And that the project has been conditioned for those elements. They're well aware of those elements. I haven't seen any signage proposed for this, so they'll just need to get a permit for that, presuming that they want to get signage for this. And so the review that we have done on this project, we find that it's consistent with the comp plan, that the proposal complies with or will comply with all requirements of Title 17 zoning and other applicable elements of Kitsap County Code, subject to the conditions that we have outlined in the staff report, that this proposal is compatible and will not be detrimental to any properties within the vicinity, and that appropriate provisions have been made for their project in the context of everything taking place within the building except for the outdoor exercise area, and that's limited, it's fenced, and that there's no other activities that are taking place. Partly the reason for that, now obviously you can't control somebody when they're bringing their dog and they've got some time, they may walk about, but we want to keep them out of the buffer because we don't want to see dog waste there, and there's wildlife that dogs have an impact to. And the other areas, like behind the building that was suggested at one point in time, is on slope, and if you have a lot of that dog activity, you're going to see erosion. We don't want to see that occur. So The applicant's well aware of that and is in agreement with those elements as well. So based on the information that's outlined in the staff report, the Department of Community Development recommends that the conditional use permit for Cap Bow Wow be approved subject to the 32 conditions that are outlined in the staff report.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions for me?
I do not have any questions at this time. Anything further from planning at this point? Or is that? Nope. Okay. Is the applicant here? Good morning.
Good morning. For
your name for the record?
William M. Palmer.
And you swear to tell the truth today? You swear to tell the truth today?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
regarding the question of a teacup dog, I'll let the owner of the business, Robin Ellis, I'll let her address that. But I typically refer to those as puppy dogs, not
actual.
Not a full-blown dog. we're basic agreement with the staff report and the presentation that Meg made of the project very much describes the overall operation. I will let my client, Robin Ellis, tell you a little bit more about Camp Bow Wow. It's a national franchise, and that it's been very successfully located in any one of a number of communities across the country. And anybody that operates Camp Bow Wow business has to go through some pretty rigorous training in addition to their affinity for taking care of dogs. And this is a type of project that would be compatible in residential neighborhoods, but in this case, we're in a commercial district, and we're in a development where there are several other buildings and some improvements that are still planned, and it's the type of business that's ideally situated in this kind of environment. And we believe that the application as proposed and as reviewed by staff does demonstrate compliance with all code provisions that might be applicable to this project. And I'm not going to belabor the point that we're hopeful to receive the recommendation of the hearing examiner or decision as soon as possible, because they wanted to get into the building 1st of January, not 1st of April, but we're moving as quickly forward as we can. And putting up the shell building is one step in that direction. There's several things that have to be done to finish off the building. But we do note that we have a second permit. We filed a shell permit, and we have a minor commercial improvement permit yet to file with the county, and that will address issues that are set forth in the staff report as it, they relate to conditions of approval. Example being the landscaping supplement that will go around the outdoor play area, and a couple other minor things like the awning over the entrance to the building. That's just to pick a couple highlights. Again, I had no desire to belabor the point, but I think it would be good to hear from the business owner, Robin Ellis, and she is present, so let her come and speak, and then I can answer any questions after that.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Ellis? Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name is?
Robin Ellis.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
First, let me answer the question about teacups. That is 10 pounds and under.
Okay.
And the one correction on that would be we started out with 10 condos, mm-hmm. but we have reduced that to 8 due to the size.
Okay.
We have very high franchise standards, and we want to meet all of those also, along with all of our county things that we must do. And we have read the staff report and believe that we can comply with everything that is on that staff report. Okay.
Thank you. I don't have any questions at this time.
You don't have any questions?
No.
So.
Anything else from the applicant at this time? And you all will have an opportunity if there's public comment to address, provide clarification on any comments that arise. Okay. Is there anyone here from the public? Or do we have a sign-in sheet on this one? Oh, okay. So there's no one on the sign-up sheet, but is there anyone here who wanted to testify who's not on the sign-up sheet? Yes, I see a gentleman in the back.
My name's Ken Malmborg.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do.
And can you spell your last name?
Malmborg.
Malm.
Borg.
Borg, okay.
I'm actually here as a long-term Kitsap County resident today. I could have spoken on behalf of the owner because I happen to be her general contractor, and I'm also working for the owner of the project. So I'm very intimately familiar with the project and very intimately familiar with working with Meg and trying to bring the project forward. However, I'm here as a citizen and a long-term resident today. I've been doing development for a very long time. And when I come into hearings like this or I work with the county, I realize how important it is for us to focus on the nuances of the project and making sure that everything's compliant. This particular project has a bit of an emotional aspect to it that I'd like to touch on, and I think sometimes we lose those things in meetings like this. She's looking to hire local people in, from the community as employees here. And one of those employees happens to be my nephew. My nephew suffers from stress anxiety disorder and ADD type problems. He's so excited about being an employee here because it gives him an opportunity to interact with people in a way that's works for him in his life and the struggles that he's going through. He's a junior in high school and he struggles a lot with emotional interactions with humans. So the ability to work with the dogs is a great opportunity for him to become a better productive member of our society. And I'm kind of blown away by this project from the standpoint that I've been watching it from the very beginning. And although I'm the contractor who makes all the things happen on the ground, I also have participated and watched this organization garner 1,300 people that want to come forward and bring their dogs to this facility on a regular basis, and I just didn't realize the outreach that this organization could have to affect our community in a very positive way. And in addition to that, I happen to be a dog owner myself, and I've come to understand how important those relationships are for people such as myself or such as my nephew or such as my wife or other people in our community that actually value that relationship with their pet and want a safe environment that they can take that dog to where they know that it's going to be cared and nurtured for. It's no different than taking your child to daycare. So I just applaud their efforts. I applaud the standards that Camp Bow Wow has held them to. I applaud what Robin is doing and what their staff is doing. And I applaud Meg for her diligence in trying to help bring the project forward. And I'm very excited to be part of it. I'm very excited to see this opportunity come to Kitsap County as a viable, solid business that's going to provide long-term employment for people. And I truly believe, more so than on some of the other businesses in there, have a truly positive impact on our community. And I believe it's important. And sometimes I feel that we miss those things, Meg, when we're doing this stuff. And I could have come forward today on behalf of her as the project developer, but I felt I'd rather let you hear my piece as a citizen, if you don't mind.
Nope.
Thank you for your time.
No, thank you. Is there anyone else from the public who wished to testify? Okay, let the record reflect that there is not. Anything else? Clarification from planning department? Okay. And I, applicant, there weren't any comments, I think, that technical questions to address. So I think I have what I need to make a decision. I will be granting the conditional use permit. I reviewed the exhibits, the staff recommendation for consistency with the conditional use permit criteria. With the mitigation, I do not believe that there will be material detriment to the surrounding uses and that this proposal is compatible with the surrounding uses. So a decision will be, I'm required to issue a decision within 10 business days. It sounded like from the applicant, the sooner the better, so a decision will be out next week. And I will send it to the hearing examiner clerk, and then she will forward it on to the applicant. There was individual who had testified as a citizen, and although they are working with the applicant, but if you also wish to have the decision forwarded to you, then please provide an email address so the clerk can provide that. So I think that's it. Thank you all for your testimony today, and I don't believe there is anything else that we need to address. Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you all.